And as we continue to navigate these unprecedented times, KCBS is trying to get answers to your questions about the coronavirus pandemic and all the issues that have arisen around it. Each weekday morning at 9:20, we're doing an Ask an Expert segment, and each day we're focusing on a different aspect of this big picture. From toilet paper to garlic to ground meat, the supply chain for everyday items has really felt the pinch, and we want to know what can be done, what shortage could be next. You've had a lot of questions about this. To answer them, we're joined live on the KCBS Ring Central Newsline by Dave Puglia, who is president and CEO of Western Growers, which represents family farms growing fresh produce. Dave, good morning. Thanks for taking the time with us. How are you?
Fine, thanks. Thanks for having me today. I appreciate it.
Well, let's talk a little bit big picture, first of all, about this. You know, we tend to think of agriculture as big ag, and there are, in fact, some pretty big organizations. Can you break down for us, here in California at least, you know, how the amount of farmland is sliced up between great big operators and mom and pops and everybody in between?
Really, we have a great diversity in terms of size in California. We have so many farmers in our membership who are on the smaller side of production, who supply farmers markets, who supply local restaurants, who supply community-supported agriculture. And it ranges up to very large farming operations. Family farmers, they're usually third or fourth generation, but they tend to be a little bit on the bigger side and supply grocery chains and food service restaurant chains around the country. So we really have a great diversity, both in the types of food we grow in California. We have over 300 commodities in the fresh produce sector alone in California, and in size of the farms.
Is there any other state? I know that historically this was a remarkable place. Are we still here in California the place that grows the widest variety of things?
Both the widest variety of things in California and also by far the largest food production state, agricultural state in the country. California is, in terms of farm gate revenue, that's the amount paid to farmers for what they produce, easily the number one state in the country. And within that, roughly $50 billion that California agriculture produces in terms of farm gate revenue, about 60% of that is in the fresh produce sector.
Okay, and help me understand import-export, because we always hear, well, we grow this, but we send it there, or we grow it here, but it's cheaper to get it from there. What's that mix look like?
Well, most of our production in the fresh produce sector, anyway, out of California is for domestic sale here in the United States, although we have, depending on the specific product we're talking about, quite a bit that's exported. There's a lot of demand around the world for California-grown produce, California-made wine. California products are sort of sold at a premium in certain markets around the world, and that's something that obviously is to the advantage of California. Every dollar paid to a farmer for a product grown in California generates at least $3 in additional economic activity that benefits the state.
Okay, well, let's get some questions then from our listeners, and we remind those of you listening, if you're suddenly hit with a question that you think deserves an answer, send it on in. We've got Nick Palmer watching the email inbox right now. Ask us at kcbsradio.com. Let's start with one that was a story a few weeks ago. I don't know if it still is, but maybe, because the question says, where's all the fresh garlic? When will I be able to buy it in grocery stores again?
Yeah, we've heard a lot of that. People miss their garlic. You know, this pandemic resulted in, as people know, the sudden shutdown of the restaurant business a couple of months ago. The same for food service suppliers who provided food to universities and school systems and hotel resorts. All of that shut down overnight, and that really blew up the supply chains in the United States. And that resulted in sudden shortages of certain commodities in the produce aisle, oversupply of others. So it really has been very chaotic. I can't tell you exactly why we had a sudden shortage in garlic on the grocery store shelves, but I will tell you that California produces the best garlic in the world, and our garlic harvest season's just coming up. So stand by. If it's not already back on your shelves, it will be shortly.
Okay. Next question. I'm curious as to whether I'm more likely to find a steady supply of produce at a farmer's market or a supermarket. I'm just trying to balance being around other people with getting healthy food.
Yeah, it's a good question. I think it depends on the farmer's market you prefer to purchase from. Some have a little bit steadier supply than others. I will say our grocery stores, our grocery chains in this country have proven very resilient. They've really stepped up to the crisis and done extraordinary work with our members, with farmers and distributors, to keep food coming to the grocery store shelves and keep it fresh. And so I think as we've seen some hiccups in our supply chains, as I said a moment ago, it's a pretty resilient system and people who are very dedicated to keep fresh food coming to their shelves. So I think it will be hit and miss for a little while with farmers markets, but we have so much that is being, so much that we grow in this state that's looking for another outlet, that's looking for another home because the restaurant sector continues to be largely shut down or at least reduced in its throughput. And so you have a lot of farmers who maybe hadn't been looking at farmers markets before as a place to sell their wares who are now taking another look. And so I think we'll probably see an increased supply of fresh produce at farmers markets lasting for many more months and possibly permanently. I think, you know, many farmers who didn't get into the farmers market channel or who haven't thought about community supported agriculture, which is direct delivery from farmers to consumers of a box of produce, those channels are just booming. And I think many of us will stick with it if we hadn't already used those avenues to purchase our food.
Dave, let me just ask you as kind of a personal follow-up. Can you walk us through the economics if you're growing, I don't care, grapes or cherries or turnips in California, and I guess we grow all of them, right? You know, whether it's a better business decision for you to sell them off at wholesale or to set up the operation that it takes to go to the farmers markets or deliver them in consumer boxes.
Yeah, it's another good question. It depends, I think, a bit on your size as a farmer, how much you produce, what you produce, your seasonality of production. As a general rule, most of the food we eat goes to grocery stores. We mostly buy from grocery stores. But that will still be the dominant sector by volume. But as I said, I think more and more of us are experiencing farmers markets and community-supported agriculture. The economics of this really still argues for farmers who produce a lot of food to stick with long-term contracts with food service and grocery store chains around the country because they produce a lot of volume and those farmers would overwhelm farmers markets and simply produce too much for those smaller distribution channels. So I think there's always been a strong niche and a growing niche for California's smaller farmers to find a profitable outlet for their products at farmers markets and through community-supported agriculture. It costs a little bit more to produce. It's a little less efficient because you're producing less and you don't get that scale efficiency, but you also get a little bit more, a few more dollars per pound, if you will, through farmers markets and through community-supported agriculture. So the system really has sort of evolved to accommodate consumer desires, whether you desire a box delivered to your home through community-supported agriculture, or you want to go to a farmer's market, or you want to keep buying from the grocery store. We've met those consumer preferences in a very efficient way. And again, when our economy shut down in March, it blew all that up temporarily, but we're rebuilding it. And I think the beauty of California agriculture is its resiliency and its adaptability. And we're seeing that now as we come back into marketplaces and experience new trends and meet those demands that weren't there before.
Okay, next question. With so many restaurants shut down, shouldn't there be more fresh produce available than normal? And as they reopen, which is starting to happen now, is there currently enough food in the supply chain to go around? I think this question says, are we going to whipsaw back to a problem going the other way?
Yeah, that is a great question. What happened when we shut down the restaurant sector in March and universities and school systems closed at the same time is that millions and millions of pounds of fresh produce that were being grown principally in the desert regions of California and Arizona, and we're mostly talking about vegetables here, that were destined for restaurants and universities and school systems, that product was either ready for harvest or had just been harvested and cooled and ready to ship when all of this happened. And the volume is just so huge that there was literally no place to go with all of that fresh produce when everything stopped. Many farmers tried to redirect their products to grocery stores and to farmers markets. We doubled our donations to food banks almost overnight. California farmers are very generous people and had a lot of product to donate, and they did. But again, the volume was just so high that we ended up, unfortunately, losing a lot of that fresh produce and having to put it back into the ground, disc it into the ground, as we say in the industry. Caused huge economic loss. Now, 2 months, 3 months later, we're adjusting to the demands that have changed. We're obviously buying more of our food in grocery stores and less from restaurants, although that's picking up again, as the listener indicated. And so we're readjusting our supply chains to come back into the food service sector. But it's very unpredictable. I think that's part of the challenge here. You know, farmers have to make decisions months in advance about what product to plant, what crop to plant, how much to plant. And they're guessing that there will be a market for it in 2 months or 3 months or 4 months, depending on what you're growing, when it's ready to be harvested. In this era, in this moment with this pandemic, we really have a tough time making good predictions about what market demand will be in the restaurant sector versus the grocery store sector in 3 months or 4 months. And so, you know, farming has always been a gamble. You gamble with weather, you gamble with diseases that can come through a field and wipe out a crop, you gamble with loss of water supply, but this is an increased risk that nobody's really confronted before, and that's just the disrupted supply and demand equation.
Okay. Next couple of questions, I think, go to meat. So the first one says, are meat prices going to continue to rise, or will they start to go down soon?
Well, I'm less familiar with the meat sector. I don't represent those folks. I do keep an eye on it. My sense is that we will see prices come back down in the months to come. I think we're in a period of continued, supply and demand mismatch because of the sort of choke points in the system there, which are the processing plants, the meatpacking facilities. That's where they've had a lot of COVID-19 cases sweep through those workforces and had to shut down for a time until the federal government ordered them reopen. I think it's going to take some time to get the production side, the farmers who produce those animals, to get that production back through those processing plants as they come back online full speed. But my sense is, again, I'm a couple steps removed from this, but my sense is that they're on the way to getting back to a more normal situation. They have the same problem we have in the produce industry, which is the restaurant industry being relatively shut down and coming back online slowly. We're all guessing about what demand in the restaurant sectors will be in the months to come, and that's a hard thing to do.
This next one wants to know about safety, I guess, not just in the plants, but of the food itself. And this person says, how is any potential problem addressed? Same with produce, so actual food safety issues.
Yeah, that's a question we get a lot. FDA has been very, very clear that COVID-19, the coronavirus, is not a food safety risk. It doesn't transfer to fresh produce or other food products easily or well. But having said that, in the fresh produce industry, because most of what we produce and supply to Americans is consumed raw, it's grown outside in fields, subject to, you know, weather and animals, and then eaten raw, we have very high food safety standards to prevent pathogens from contaminating that produce. And so those protocols that govern food safety in the fresh produce sector have really helped us kind of get a jump start on management of kind of best practices to protect the workers in our fields, who, of course, we need to do all we can do to protect them from this virus. It's a hard thing to do in some of our farms and some of our processing facilities because they work fairly closely together, but we've already implemented changes to increase separation, to put partitions between workers on harvest crews, plastic partitions, of course, masks and other PPE. Much more hand washing and field sanitation. So I feel very, very comfortable about the food safety question. We're very, very concerned about the workers in the fields who have continued to do their work in the midst of this crisis because they're essential to our national economy, to our food supply, and they've just been really heroic in showing up to work day after day. When so many of us have been afraid to go out and be with each other in the middle of this crisis. But I think the industry has responded very strongly to take every step we can to protect our workforce. And as I said, our food safety protocols are so strong. With this virus, there's no additional risk.
The next question kind of touched on that about worker safety precautions, but also wants to know whether people are actually able to travel to get to farms. Are there issues with labor supplies?
Yeah, our workers have been able to get to our farms and to our packing facilities without a whole lot of headaches. When the pandemic first hit, when the economic shutdowns and the staying at home orders first hit, we had some workers who were being questioned about being out on the road. Many of them leave very early in the morning, and some of them were reporting that they were asked what they were doing out. So most of our employers, probably all of our members, provided letters for them to carry that just confirmed that they work in agriculture, and that makes them an essential worker. And that really ended any concern some weeks ago. We haven't had any reports of any problems with the workers being able to get to their places of employment and get back home again. The concern we have there is that they often ride in buses that are provided by the employers. So we've had our members go from a single bus to carry their workers to the fields for work in the morning to four buses for the same number of workers, just to increase that physical separation. Obviously, it costs more, it's less efficient, but it's just one more measure to protect them from the virus.
Next question says, can your guests talk about the flow of food to food banks? It seems like we have such an incredible need right now and so much fertile farmland in California. We've obviously seen these long lines at food banks here in the Bay Area and elsewhere.
Yeah, it's a great question. When this hit, as I mentioned a little while ago, we had so many farmers whose vegetable crops primarily really had no place to go when the restaurant industry shut down. We doubled our donations to California food banks from 12 million pounds in March to 26 million pounds in April. So, I mean, it really jumped up fast. One of the challenges we have on an ongoing basis with that is it costs a lot of money to harvest the product, to harvest fresh produce, and to transport it. And so a farmer who has already spent, let's say, for example, is growing lettuce, has spent $5,000 per acre to grow the lettuce, well, if you need to harvest it and then ship it, transport it, that's going to cost another $5,000 per acre. And if you are sending it to a food bank, obviously you're not going to be paid for the product, and so you're being asked to double your loss. You're going to be taking your loss from $5,000 per acre to $10,000 per acre. And so we're working with the federal government, with the state government, to try and find ways to keep some compensation flowing to farmers who are willing to donate that food to food banks. We're working closely with the California Association of Food Banks and the state of California. The Newsom administration has put some funding to offset some of those harvest and transportation costs. Federal government is running a different kind of a program to purchase products from farmers and box them and provide them to food banks and also to other charitable institutions. And so there's a lot going on here to try and continue to get that great fresh produce that has no place to go for sale over to food banks. The other challenge will be food banks, in some cases, being strained to accommodate that much fresh produce. Fresh produce has to be kept cold. It has to be refrigerated. It doesn't have a long shelf life, and so it's a little bit harder to manage than canned or dry packaged goods, for example, that can sit on a shelf for a long time. Yeah. Our food can't, and so you have to have pretty big refrigeration facilities, and you have to have really strong management to move the product through before it spoils. And so there's some challenge there too. But California's food banks are really quite expert at all of this, and so they're a great working partner with us.
Dave, let's get one more in before we let you go, and this one is saying, well, it's planting season for later year crops. Will all of this change the food growing priorities in California? Will farmers be growing different things?
I don't know that they'll be growing different things. They may change their crop mix a bit based on consumer demand. And so I'll give you an example of this. When the restaurant sector shut down and we all went running to the grocery store to buy food, people quickly snapped up fresh produce items that hold a little bit longer in our homes. So think of apples and citrus, potatoes, things like that went off. Carrots went off the shelves very, very quickly. Bagged salads. People prefer not to always handle a product that is unwrapped, and so a lot of people went to bagged salads. So we're looking at those trends, and our farmers in California, as I said earlier, are very adaptive, very responsive. They'll pick up those consumer demands as they change coming out of this crisis or as the pandemic lessens and we go back to restaurants. And so I think because in California we have such a great diversity of crops that we grow, we have a greater ability to adapt to market demand. It's not like Iowa where we have, you know, corn and soybeans and hogs, and that's about it. California has over 300 commodities that our farmers grow and produce. And so we have the ability to adapt very quickly, and it's going to happen in ways that are numerous and probably very hard to predict, but we will adapt.
Well, Dave Puglia, thanks so much for the time this morning. We appreciate you taking it with us, and continue to stay safe.
Thanks. You too. I appreciate the opportunity.
Right,
take care.
All right. You too. Dave Puglia is the president and CEO of Western Growers, a trade group that represents family farms growing fresh produce in California and a few other Western states. So that's today's Ask an Expert segment. Don't forget, it'll be posted shortly online, the audio file, as well as the text transcript at kcbsradio.com/askanexpert. You can hit the rewind button on your radio.com app at any time while you're listening to hear a question answered again, or use the share feature to pass along an episode on radio.com. By the way, tomorrow, it ought to be a very interesting one. So much talk about vaccines right now. Our guest will be Dr. Joel Ernst, who is chief of UC San Francisco's Division of Experimental Medicine, a highly touted vaccine expert. If you've got questions about the vaccine news you've been hearing, send them our way now. Ask us at kcbsradio.com. That's tomorrow morning's segment at 9:20.